Matt Johnson is an absolute superstar, and in today's episode he talks about all things mental health and why this particular period of the year is really hard for quite a lot of people. There's a ton of marketing campaigns out there telling you must be having the best time of the year and you get all this time off, but when you run a company that is not the case. So we wanted to share 12 Days of Christmas, this special mini series to help you with your health and wellness. We talk all things mental health with Matt, how to manage yours. He gives some really amazing advice as to what he's learned from his own experiences with this.
Hello.
Hello, lovely.
Hi, love. How are you?
I'm all right.
You're in Wales.
I am in Wales, yeah. Yeah, my father, bless him, has just had a hip replacement. So my mother has been looking after my father and my grandmother. So I had work postponed this morning. So I was like, get to Wales so they can go out. So they're currently in some sort of sandwich place, having some peace and quiet together, which is quite nice. So I am holding fort.
Well done. Good familying there.
Yeah, I deserve really good Christmas presents now.
Yes, this is true. And I can't believe it's the 8th of December. And
it's crazy, isn't it?
It's nuts. But also, I can't believe that last time we chatted, it was 3 years ago. So I think we recorded like November, December 22.
Jesus. Jesus Christ.
I tell you what. Time flies.
How have you changed in 3 years? What's happened?
Oh, well, I've got more grey hair, more wrinkles. I'm aging. I'm about to hit 40 fucking five. And I have to say that because when I turned 30 fucking three, my mum gave me a cake iced around the top and said, happy 30 fucking third. And it was
Jesus
great.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Killer.
Yeah. I mean, I kept talking about that. And like in 3 years, lots has changed, but not much has changed. Still not good with boundaries.
Okay.
Propensity to kind of work and work and work and then realize, okay, I should probably have stopped to look after my mental health.
Okay.
Not as good as I'd like to be. But I'm better at rolling with the punches.
Okay.
And going, you know what, self-employment, it's a roller coaster. Every guest, 140 episodes, everyone's like, it's a roller coaster, be okay with responsibility. I'm like, I'm not okay with it, I accept it, and I'm rolling with it.
Embrace the quiet moments, because when it's busy, it's really busy.
Yes. And this year, I feel like I've had a bit of a gap year, because it's been lovely. I've been sort of poddling along with my team.
Hang on now. In this 3 years, you've moved out of London as well.
Well, yes, there's another dramatic change that I decided to sell my flat and move to the countryside.
Now, was that for personal, I need to get the fuck out of London reasons?
Yes, that was, I am not happy in a big city anymore. Mm-hmm. I need some space. I need some peace and quiet. So to be an hour on the train outside of London. And so I walk 10 minutes to the station, through a churchyard, lovely church, cobbled stones, down past the river, across a bridge, say hello to everyone I meet. I get on the train and an hour and 10, I'm in Paddington, where you go into fight mode and everyone's like, do not look at me in the eye and do not talk to me. And I'm like,
so you're controlling what you can.
Yes.
And you've listened to yourself when you needed to kind of take some time, take a step away to be more productive. Are you more productive in work in that sense?
A friend called me out on it because it took me a year to find the house and I was determined to live in this village. And they were like, you're going to have to compromise. I was like, no, it's going to be there. And it was actually some glib comment after a festival. I said, right, by this time next year, I'm going to have moved to Charlbury and I've gone to the Antarctic. And then I realised actually getting to the Antarctic was way easier than buying a house in the Cotswolds. But yeah, it's given me more structure. It's given me, and I know it sounds very cliched, but much more in tune with nature and the seasons. Mm. I don't mind winter as much. I used to really struggle with the dark and the mizzle, as someone called it earlier. And seeing nature do its thing and it goes in cycles, I feel much more at peace with that. And the highs of the kind of garden coming to life in the spring, I've got gardening in my life, which I now love.
Oh, amazing.
And my mum's like, you've changed. I'm like, we've bonded over that and pointing out that I managed to replant some weeds really neatly. I'm like, great.
Do you think if you could change anything, would you have done this earlier?
It's so interesting because I always ask podcast guests that. It's like, no, I wouldn't change a thing because I wouldn't be here today if I did. Yeah, I probably would actually. Buying a house in England is horrible. If I could have just magic wand through that stress. And a friend called me out. She said, come on, Jules, think about this. You're changing the one stable thing in your life, your flat you've been in for 10 years and Battersea. So you're going to rip that band-aid off. It's the one stable thing. Work, love life, family life, everything else is up in the air. And I was like, yes, because yeah. It's going to help with all of the other things. It's going to help stabilize. So yeah, now I wake up to an owl occasionally, not sirens. That's pretty awesome. I have a really lovely commute.
Closer to Wales.
Very much closer to Wales. Well, out here, there's less manicness.
Do you feel like you've like returned back to who you were supposed to be?
I'm getting there. I think it's a work in progress. And this is something I learned from your first episode, actually, is that it's constantly moving, changing. It's never finished. You've just got to kind of keep moving forward. Like a lot of people are like, you can't move to the countryside. You don't have a husband. You don't have pets and you have no children. What are you doing?
Oh my God. Who said that?
So many people. It's very judgy out there.
Well, do you think that's a reflection of their judgment of someone else or just their fear of them doing it themselves?
Well, I think it's the stereotype of like, well, you leave London when you've got all the tick boxes and you need more space. It's like, no, you leave London when you're in your 40s and you want some peace and quiet. And I really wanted to belong to something. And I think in London, I lost that. Becoming self-employed, going to co-working offices, which we also talked about in our first episode, you're anchorless. There's no structure or someone expecting you to be somewhere at a particular time. And I miss that. So coming to a smaller village where people know who I am, as much as there's a few raised eyebrows of what are you doing here on your own?
Like Cameron Diaz in The Holiday, when she's clacking around in the cottage environment. That's kind of like two worlds colliding, isn't it?
Well, that and also wardrobe. I've still got London clothes. I don't know what I can wear out here.
Yeah. In London, you can blissfully avoid somebody for forever. But you have to connect, I think, in the country.
Well, this is the pro and the con, because I wanted the connection in the community and I've got the connection in the community and everybody knows your business, which is kind of fine until you might ruffle a feather here and there. I went on a date once with someone who walked me home and snogged me on my doorstep. He's like, your neighbours, I'm like, all 85 and they're all looking, I think.
Are they all? I bet you brought some wonderful entertainment.
Well, yes, it's an interesting change. But how about you in the last 3 years? How are you doing with stuff?
I was just doing it, so I don't talk anymore. I just ask questions.
I was going to say this feels very much like the roles have been reversed.
I don't give anything away anymore.
Right. Okay, so this is my
thing. So it's been great talking to you. Have a lovely day.
You're not getting away with that easily.
My 3 years, it's been... I'm probably up 15 different people since that time and when we spoke. I've continued my kind of exploration of my own mental health and in the aid to kind of understand others and to kind of build on that. I've lent into coaching more. I've kind of worked on that a lot to try and understand people. I love people and I think...
Good with people.
I hope so. I hope I listen enough. Because that's what I need for myself. I need to be seen as such. So I hope I can provide that space for people. And it's been good. I think over that 3 years, of course, we were in 2022 then. So we're not far out of lockdown. So work has gradually picked back up, you know, back on Good Morning Britain and daytime television, which has been really fun to revisit that world again from a new perspective. And just, you know, I'm happier, I would say, in my own skin. Which is all I've ever wanted, really.
Yeah.
And I think it's in line with what we were just talking about not worrying about what anybody else is doing, not fitting into an archetype of who I should be at this age or who a man should be. And I've listened to who I am. I've done that work. I've worked out that process and that method. I've embodied it and I've embedded it and I'm living it now. And it takes a while to kind of for all of it to percolate and for all of it to kind of, I've paid a lot of money for change. I've done a lot of work. It's work.
It's hard work.
Like facing the worst parts of you constantly. Yeah. I'd rather not.
The physio when they press on the knot and then it presses harder. This kind of work is the hardest freaking knot.
Yeah.
Hurts.
Because there's certain mentalities that we have and certain behavioral patterns and neurological pathways that aren't ours. And you have to unpick them. You have to work out why they're there. You have to look at where your family paid influence and society integrated their own belief systems that weren't yours and created this person that necessarily isn't you and wasn't me. So it's taken a long time to kind of unravel that and to work with it, to understand it, forgive a lot of it, forgive myself for a lot of things. And that means really facing the darker parts. And I, as you know, I've been through some really dark moments, and forgiving myself for that has probably been one of the hardest things in the entire world. And that compassion and understanding has then been the starting point of like, okay, then who the hell am I? What do I like?
Well, you unpick it, but then you have to build it back up.
You've got to start again. And then, of course, you still have to have that old you on you, in you, around you, and you listen to it, you understand it, you understand it's there, you get ahead of it. For example, if you want to do something new, your brain will always say, don't do that, you're not good enough, you don't deserve to be in that world. And then you've got to always fight and wrangle past that and then do the thing that's scary. And that's a constant thing. So I think that's where I am with it. I'm living and activating new neurological pathways and patterns alongside the old murky dark ones that want me to keep small and be scared. And I'm trying to do things with a better motivation and more purposeful, and trying to navigate my life with my old jobs and my friends and life that I have with this new ideology of who I am and the new blueprint of my brain as such. So, I mean, yeah, not much. I haven't been up to much in 3 years. What's nice is that, I mean, you're just the same, really. It's just, you just do things with a bit more purpose. And like you said earlier, like a few more boundaries are in place, and then it's still life, and still life hits you and you have to deal with it. And I suppose I'm not as unkind to myself as I once was.
I'm so pleased to hear you say this, because I also think, and you do a lot around this, that men don't often talk about the vulnerabilities of mental health. And actually, it's so important that we all do. And especially when you start and run a business, how much it takes from you. And yes, it gives you a lot as well. But I wanted to chat to you 3 years on, not two, because we're about to come into Christmas and New Year. And it's a really shit time of year for a lot of people. And there's a lot of marketing going, you've got to have the best time ever with your family that you love so much because you've got a loving family. That's not true for a lot of people, especially when you're a self-employed person or a solopreneur or freelance. You don't have someone giving you a Christmas party or a bonus. Your business carries on. You're exhausted. You're meant to be taking stress. There's a lot of pressure on this time of year. So what would you suggest people do over this period to look after themselves?
I mean, what you just said, it was really interesting about people that are self-employed. So let's start with them. And I'm self-employed too. And yeah, you don't have an appraisal. You don't have necessarily a staff Christmas party. And I think what's really wonderful about that awareness is that maybe you should do these pats on your back, give yourself a treat. Buy yourself a present, get together with other self-employed people and have a works Christmas party, because these milestones are really important. Like validation, as much as I hate it, is a big part of business because it's transactional, right? I put the work in, I get the thing back. I'm in the job. I need my management to tell me if I'm doing a good job or not. Either I'll know with an appraisal, which you should have in business from like twice a year or something, like a roundup, or you have a promotion or whatever. There's physical things that change in your life where you have a significant moment where you know where you are, where you stand. And when you're self-employed, you just got to do that for yourself.
Do it every day. The resilience you need.
Constantly. Yeah, absolutely.
And push yourself. And if you're managing the team, you're the one that has to keep going and keep positive. No one's going to pick you up. So I think you're so right of create it for yourself.
I'm in a different type of industry, but it's very similar. You're only as good as your last game, right? But unfortunately, you could be amazing and you could not get called back ever. And that's how it works. It's not always about how good you are. It's about timing. It's about somebody else doing it and the right person, wrong time, right person, right time. And then it always is reliant on how you react to that. So, and I've experienced that a lot in my career where I thought I've done a really good job there. Like for the one time I've gone, I nailed that. And then you just don't get the call. And then instead of being treating that as an observation or as that as a appraisal, like, oh, it couldn't have been that good, you have to remember your own instinctive credentials, your own instinctive marks for your performance. And if you feel like you've done well and you did your best, then you have to stick with that. You have to own that. If you truly believe that, you can't be seeking somebody else's validation. In this business world, it's the same as mine. Like, it's so fickle. Money is there 1 minute and money is gone the next minute. And somebody might call you to say, hey, I've got this thing for you and you're perfect. Or this business idea and it's wonderful. And they just fall away and nobody will give you an answer or a reason or an explanation. And that's not your fault. And that's one of the things that I've learned is that you literally have to self-manage, tell yourself that you're doing very well. And remind yourself of your worth constantly. And like I say, you know, I often do it. Like, you know, just, you know, I've been freelance now since 2010, you know, it's a long time. And it's taken me a long time to kind of be my own cheerleader.
Yeah, it's really hard. And I think that's it. You have to accept you're going to have down days as well. You can't be unrealistic. You can't be perfect every day. You can't be upbeat every day. You're human, especially at what I'm now coming up for 6 years with my business. In any job, you're going to have bumps in the road, even ones you make up for yourself. What would you suggest that founders do to help their resilience, especially over this sort of time of year?
Always, like, I mean... It's really difficult to give advice in an industry, in a world that doesn't really believe in what I believe in. It doesn't give you an opportunity for self-reflection and stopping and calm because it's a beast. If you're in this world, startups and all that, what people want you to be is combative and ferocious and hustle. So what I believe in doesn't really sit in line with that world. But so I would say stop doing it and leave and go and live in the mountains. However, that's not good advice. You can't just do that. It's unrealistic. And whilst you're in that world, I believe you've got to work with what you have and work with where you are. And I'm in that world too. I'm a hypocrite. I work in television. The worst for mental health. It encourages you at all times to be scared and to seek validation. And to people please, however, working with what's in front of you is very important. So taking that time, as you have done, take that time for yourself. Working out what you need for yourself is super important because somebody else's relaxing technique or tool might be not the right one for you. Like, I know that men struggle with meditation and yoga and stuff, but like going for a walk in nature is really important. And taking that time, taking yourself away from the screen, and knowing that you need to do that often and as much as you possibly can.
It's like regulation.
Well, I always think as well, and I believe this to be true, like if you want to take on new information or be busy, you need to be coming from a very grounded standpoint. So even as a matter of a tactic to be better in a board meeting, you need that 20 minutes of meditation or relaxation or regulation for you to be better and for you not to be burned out and therefore not be maybe as good as your job, you need to set up precautions for you to perform better. So I try and do this with the check-in and frontline stuff that we do. We try to go into businesses and train up mental health first aid to create safe spaces, to create safe environments where people can be proactive about their mental health before it gets too late, before burnout happens. And that's really important. So if you don't have the tools and you don't have the regulation tools in your basket, like get them, like really, really get some and put them as much as maybe the gym is good for you and you need to have a workout in the morning, get up and have a shower, maybe a cold plunge, what people do all the bloody time. Like whatever it is, as long as you're choosing something for the right reasons and that's to get you into your own body and you're putting yourself in a situation where you're caring for yourself, I think that's very, very important. And obviously downtime as well. You know, I spent a long time drinking and thinking that was like my own special time for myself. But actually, it was kind of a false flag. It was a really short-lived, really meditative state. It was a short-lived...
It's almost like a mask, isn't it?
Mask on an issue that I was living with. I wasn't able to hold my feelings. Well, in my world, you get really frustrated and angry with people. and you get annoyed with yourself. Live television, your central nervous system is wild. And if you haven't got that managed, it's very dangerous. And that's when I've realized it can show up in your body, in your skin, with ailments and colds, and your immune system's low and all that. So find out what you can do to regulate, what works for you, whether it's journaling, walking, breath work, meditation, yoga, talking, playing darts, whatever it is. And it could be anything. It could be like, I need to go to the football once a week and yell, do it. You know, like do it, like whatever it is. Nobody's asking you, as I'm talking to men now as well, nobody's asking you to not be a man and not to be manly. We're asking you to be more human and expand and be a bit more vulnerable. And that doesn't mean being weak. That means listening to your body and doing what's right for it and therefore everyone else around you. Everybody wins when you're proactive with your mental health. Yourself in your own business, if you choose to live in the fire like we've done, right? Not for long. I'm going to move to the country too. I can't bear it. I'm starting to listen to my body, and I think it all starts to change. And when you start listening and start being proactive and you start being kind and compassionate to yourself, it all starts to develop and change. And then you start living a more harmonious life, or at very least the life that you've chosen is a little bit easier to manage. And I think that's incredibly important. And of course, you know, to founders that are watching this and to anybody that's in this melting pot of a job, same if you work in kitchens and anything, it's a high tempo, right? Your central nervous system is all over the place. Some people call it like chakras are out of line on all that type of stuff. It's out of alignment. You're not performing at your best ability. So when you are doing these things and you're listening to your body, that's a really good time for some self-reflection. And I reckon therapy is a really good idea in that time, or at least some sort of talking therapy where you can offload, not onto your partner. You talk to your partner about stuff, but...
Yeah, they're always biased, though. And they're not a mental health expert.
I think a mental health expert is always a good idea to go to. And otherwise, you know, if you do rely on your partner and your friends, that becomes codependency, and that's never good. That's not sexy either. So when you have those coping, calming, regulating mechanisms in place, and you utilize them and you put habits in place so you do them often, your life will, you know, change, hopefully for the better. And then when you are regulated more, then it's, you know, a really good opportunity to talk to somebody. And this might be some other stuff, some other validation stuff that pop up, like attachment styles, why we choose to be in a relationship like we have with our work or with partners. Why are they all very similar? Why do I keep chasing this love? That's none of my business, but that is a therapist's job to work on that stuff. And that's another level. So
when you're running your own business or you're self-employed, the overwhelm and the busyness is almost enough. But how I've sort of hacked it and rationalized doing the work is I'm more efficient at work. I'm more rested, so I'm better at work. My team get more from me. I get more from me.
Yeah.
I actually like my day more when I'm more, to use the expression, regulated. And I enjoy my life more. And who doesn't want that? And when I don't do it, like I remember one colleague saying, you haven't gone to the gym this morning, have you? And I'm like, how do you know? She's like, I know. And I was like, oh God, I owe you the gym session. But also the meditation, the calmer side of thing, not the kind of go, 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 burn, burn, burn. It's fuel up. And thank you for listing all those modalities, because we're about to run the health and wellness season again. And that's all of the topics. So,
oh, no way. Okay, good.
Perfect. Like mobility, breath work, nutrition, all of the good stuff. Because you don't need to do them all. You just need to find one or two things that you know help you as a minimum. Because if you aren't doing that for you, and someone else said this in another episode, if you're not looking after yourself, you're not looking after your business. You're running a red light on your business. And I'm guilty of this. If you hold your business with more respect than you hold yourself, do it for the business, because you are part of that. And then inadvertently, you'll look after yourself as well.
Yeah.
Why do you think men struggle particularly more than women?
I think it's an emotional intelligence. I think it's an emotional awareness. An awareness of your emotions is incredibly important. And as well with men, forever, since the dawn of time, that's not been required of them. There's only been a few requirements like protection, and being the provider and all those things. It's been very limited. And on what we're seeing over, particularly in our era and in this time now, I think more things are being asked of men, as well as being a provider as such and a protector. People are asking them to be a little bit softer, a little bit more open, a bit more vulnerable at times. And I think that's very difficult for men. And I found it very difficult myself. As you know, I really suffered with my mental health, and I suffered silently. And that's the thing. Men are dying because of silence, not because of softness. And what I've experienced in my own life, when I've not told anybody about my stuff, when I've not had these mental health tools in place, and I've kept it all to myself because I shouldn't, because I should be a man and just get on with it.
Well, man in inverted commas, yeah.
Yeah, totally. I'd just be, I think that's what was in my head at all times. It nearly killed me. I would rather end that voice that's saying, you're not good enough, you're a piece of shit, you should be better. Why can't you just get up and get on with it? Why can't you just move forward? You've got these worse people off than you. All this negative cynicism and stigma that I was living under nearly killed me. And it's killing men in their millions every single year. One man every minute around the world dies because of suicide. 8 out of 10 suicides are men. And it's devastating, the landscape of men. And there's obviously lots of reasons for that. One of the main reasons is that reason that men can't and don't feel like they can be more. They can't open up. They can't be aware of their emotions and tell and share people their feelings and admit that there's something going on or something wrong. And I completely understand historically why men have been put in this position. But what's wonderful, and I think what's happened with women, and it's particularly even in my lifetime and my mother's lifetime, like feminism and equality has been such a wonderful thing, creating expansion for all women. Hopefully more, and hopefully that's not going backwards, but you know, it's been a positive change. And also, I think that's been asked of men too. Women are maybe asked to be harder and men are asked to be softer. And I don't know what that means or whatever, but I genuinely believe we're in a wonderful place for change, real change, where I work with men all the time and we're living in this wonderful period of time where we can be expansive and work out who we are as a human being instead of pretending to be Rocky from the film or pretending to be like my dad used to be or like a man should be. Like, those ideologies don't work. They haven't been working, and men are taking their lives more than ever. And this is one of the reasons, one of the major reasons, is men can't open up. And I think for a long time, men have been afraid of toxic masculinity. Are guards up? Am I wrong? Is men being wrong? I think people have misinterpreted what toxic masculinity actually means. And I think from a very interesting standpoint, I would like to kind of open up the conversation and say, no, nobody's telling you you're wrong. It's we've been asked to expand and to be more self-aware and kinder to ourselves and therefore more compassionate, more empathetic. Instead of this elbowy race to the top, capitalistic, macho, dare I say, yeah, macho way of being the winner, the breadwinner, the boom, 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 boom. Whereas, like, if we wanted to go back in time and look at communities and see how they worked, yes, the biggest and the ones that could, you know, chase after a coyote or whatever they were trying to kill.
They weren't taking gym selfies and putting it on Instagram.
Whoever the male or female would go out and do that part, and other people had different roles and all that type of stuff, which is really interesting. But for the part that people forget is that the people that went out to do the hunting and gathering, right, they came back and shared it. That's how community worked. But the guy that gets up every morning and goes to that factory, drives that cab, does that job that he doesn't want to do for all of his life, for his family, that for me is a hero.
Does the work on themselves so they're regulated and in a better frame of mind to...
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is the thing. Like, there's so many different types of men out there. We can all exist in them and we're all individual as human beings. And that's where I love where we are in this world now. There's a real opportunity to really have that self-exploration. It's a kind of a privilege in this Western world for us to be able to do such a thing. And lots of these techniques you can do without having to fork out lots of money. I hope it's not too much in a privileged sphere. I know therapy could be a lot cheaper.
Journaling, breath work, that's all free. Walking in nature, drinking water, like eating healthier. Mm. There's a lot of the basic things that I hope we'll cover in this mini series that will just give people one tool that they can hold on to.
I think that's it. And those little sparks can really change everything. And as a man, I've realized the hard way that there's much more to a human than this very small, narrow landscape of what a man is. And same for women. You know, I think as individuals looking inward and finding what works for you and really being honest with yourself about that and then acting on it and embodying it and living it, your life does get better. And you can hopefully maybe live a happier life. You can make the changes, the big changes like you made. You know, am I going to leave the city? What's going to happen? Or what are people going to think? You did it regardless of all those things and it's worked out for you. And I hate the idea of seeing men, women, around everywhere living this inauthentic life because it makes people really unhappy. It makes people suppress their real selves and it really does perpetuate mental illness.
We talk about mental health or mental wellness and mental ill health. And I think that's it. It's like, who wouldn't want just an easier day in their own head? You know, because we're the only ones inside our own minds and thoughts. Mm. And I think when you're under pressure with work, especially when you're self-employed, it's if you know how you tick and how you function, you can find an ease with it and enjoy it a bit more. Someone said to me recently, it's like, stop worrying about the future. It's just about today. What makes today good? It's the most game-changing piece of advice I think I had all year. It's like, today, it's just getting up, going to the gym maybe, having a nice day at work, the odd nice conversation, cook a nice meal. That's enough for today.
Yeah.
And it took so much pressure off my shoulders. So I think, doing that work is so, so important. What would you say to our listeners who are entering into this festive period? What would you wish for them or want them to maybe explore over this time?
Oh, wow. I think a wish isn't just for Christmas, I'd say. I mean, it's the same thing as what I wish for everybody at all times. I really would love it if you, listener, would take some time, stop and reflect and ask yourself, what do you need, who you are and what you want from this world? And I think that's a big loaded question and that takes a lot of time, but it starts with you taking that plunge and giving a damn about yourself and asking you those questions.
One last question.
Go on.
How would you manage social media in these times as a self-employed person?
Oh, God.
Because I hate it, but I know I need it. And it's
necessary. Do you need it? Need it? What do you mean?
I say need because I have to look at a lot of other people's profiles to work out if our clients are going to work with them. And then we have our own homepage as a kind of lookbook. People can check us out and get to know us on there.
Yeah.
I just probably need a better boundary with it.
Is it only work you use it for?
Well, no, because it's on my phone. I then go into the doom scrolling.
Put it on your, just keep it on your laptop and have a timer on it that shuts at 5:30.
Yeah, locks you out. Okay.
Just working hours only. And I know it's difficult because I wish I could do that. And my screen time is a nightmare, but it's
social media.
We're addicted to it. If this was wine, we'd be rattling around outside Tesco's by now. Like, it's that much of an addiction. Like, I don't think we'd taken it as seriously as what anything that we just... I'm watching a film and I'm like, oh, I don't know why I'm picking it up. And I'm just... And I'm doomed. Like, what am I doing? Yeah. If I needed something this much as my phone, that was something like cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, sugar, I'd have a real health problem. But because this is a phone and they want us to be on it at every given second of the day, and it's kind of normalized... we don't think anything of it. But again, like when you are aware of that, like, I can't do that because that's not good for me. Implementing the habit and having that boundary. When you start there, if you can do it with social media, you can pretty much do it with anything. That's a really difficult thing to kind of actually quantify. But like, But boundaries are boundaries. And that comes with self-discipline and that self-reflection about what's really important. And sometimes habits are really hard to kind of do. So like when you do take it from something that's really easy on your phone, because when you go on your phone just to look at anything, I always end up on Instagram. So whip it off your phone, keep it on your laptop, and then have a timer on it that you can't access it unless you put in a passcode between your working hours. And if you don't have working hours, you should.
Yes. Boundaries. Yes.
Boundaries. They couldn't get hold of you back in the day. Imagine, oh, those were the days.
Oh, you left the office.
You left the office and that was it.
Literally a few years of my career and I'd leave the office and like, I'm free. And I never appreciated it because we didn't know it was going to change. No. And now we're like...
Now some dickhead can email you from Los Angeles at 12 midnight when you're out and he's on your mind. He's on your mind all night.
Yeah. Oh.
Stop that stuff. Boundaries, boundaries, boundaries.
Right. I'm going to do that over Christmas.
In the holiday season, whip it off completely. Nobody cares. You'll be fine.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much for your time. And
my pleasure.
Your kindness and your advice. It's very generous of you to share.
I'm very, very happy to talk to you. You're always lovely. Thank you for your time.
No, thank you for yours and for interviewing me. That was a new thing.
I thought I'd try that out. It was fun.
Take care and I'll see you soon. Come and
take
stay.
It easy. Pardon?
Come and stay whenever you like.
I thought you just said namaste. I was like, whatever.
Not there yet.
Bye, my love. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to our 12 Days of Christmas from How to Start Up. If you have enjoyed this episode, please rate and review the show because it honestly makes a massive difference to the podcast being found by other people and to me as your host. It's nice to know you're there. Our normal scheduling will resume in January 2026 and we wish you a very, very merry festive season and hope you get some rest.